Do you want something more? More meaningful moments, opportunities, deeper relationships, and memorable experiences? Do you want to make a difference? If you said yes, a career in real estate could be the opportunity you're looking for. Guiding people through one of the most important decisions they'll ever make, the purchase or sale of their home, can be both rewarding and lucrative. Exit Realty's revolutionary compensation model, training, and technology provides you with the tools you need to start and build your successful real estate career. Call me today, Robin Collins, R-O-B-Y-N, Collins with Red Robin Homes at 843-557-5003. Again, that's 843-557-5003. Or visit me at redrobinhomes.com/joinexit and make your exit today.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. I am your host, Colwin J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. If this is your first time listening to this show, you, sir or ma'am, are in for a treat because our mission here is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education. We're legacy building. That is what we do. So if you're out there making things happen with your family for the generations yet to come, you know, our word teaches us to leave a legacy, to leave an inheritance for our children, and so forth and so on. We want you to put a hashtag on that thing that says that you are legacy building, because that is what you are doing. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Anchor FM. You can also find us on Instagram at our website, ExitStrategiesRadioShow.com. You can catch us in a number of different places on your favorite podcast applications. We appreciate you listening. Please share this content with your friends, your family, your coworkers, even those in your groups, your church groups, etc., guys, because sometimes the message and the word that we are speaking here today is for you. Sometimes it is for someone else that you know. Again, we appreciate you listening. Let's get started.
Good morning, guys, and welcome to another fabulous episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. Hey, my name is Colwin J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. Guys, this is your first time listening to this show. You, sir or ma'am, are in for a magnificent treat, because our mission here is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education. We're legacy building. That's what we do. So if you have been along with us on this ride for the last several weeks, few months, you have experienced and should have gained a tremendous amount of knowledge about financial literacy, about real estate, about investing. We've had the gambit on. We've talked to commercial. We've talked to crypto people that have given an introduction to cryptocurrency. But today we bring it back to what is beneath us all, and that is the land. That's what we're talking about around here today. I am super duper excited to have with us a leader in this space of land banking, none other than Brad Warren. I'm gonna call him the, because he's the guy that has this thing put together. The land banking consultant. Brad, how are you doing today?
I am doing incredibly well. And with that introduction now, I'm doing even better than I was before. Thank you very much.
Appreciate well, you're it. Quite welcome. Brad, I'm super excited about this show, because when I was looking through and kind of getting a handle on what it is you did, I'm like, duh. Like, wait a minute. First and foremost, if you don't mind, give our listeners a brief introduction of you, your company, high level, what you do. And we're going to start digging and unpacking the boxes on this thing for our listeners today.
I work for a land banking company. I sell dirt. That's what I tell people when they ask me what I do. I help patient investors diversify and build their portfolios, usually a retirement portfolio of some kind, by investing in land that is strategically placed in the path of growth. Then they hold, and we're very conservative. We tell people 7 to 10 years on average is the hold period because you're waiting for the development to kind of get to where your land is. That's why you're able to get the land cheap because the development isn't there yet. If the development's already there, you're spending millions per acre. Our minimum is $25,000 per acre. You hold and then you sell the land to the developer. That is the exit strategy, no pun intended, but that is the exit strategy. You sell to the developer for anywhere between 3 and 7x returns. And we like to also say, Corwin, to build generational and legacy wealth.
Boom. That's a segue right there. That's like, okay, fork of the road. Now, where are we going? Brad, you said it's fundamental. One, the premise is fundamental. And we're going to unpack it a little bit more. And I want to get to the terms and all those other things so people can kind of associate it. Because real talk, Brad, it's common sense. While I know the practice, I've never heard of it as a business model to walk people through. Everybody's thinking about investing. They're thinking about buying rental properties. Everybody talking about fix and flip, but everybody don't know what they're doing with that.
Right.
But seldom do you hear people just invest in dirt and essentially get themselves, because eventually somebody's coming and somebody's going to want that dirt eventually.
Not always, though. Just a quick little. Okay. So there's a difference between land banking and land speculation.
Okay.
Land speculation is when you buy the dirt and you hope and you pray, you get on your knees, you pray to God every night that somebody's going to want my land and they're going to pay me more than what I paid for. That's speculating.
Okay.
Land banking, the way that we do it, the business model that we follow, is all research based. We have something called a 16-point comprehensive analysis checklist. Every piece of land that our company looks at, and we buy it first with our money. That's how much we believe that it's in the path of growth. Every piece of land has to get 16 yes check marks. 16. We only buy one out of every 30 that we look at. That's how stringent our guidelines are. So we do a lot of the risk mitigation, the due diligence, whatever you want to call it, the homework and the research. We have an acquisition department, a research and acquisition department, and that's all they do. They research the dirt to make sure that there's no hidden landmines, like a culvert that gets wet when it rains and prevents development. Maybe there's a red-legged toad. It's in an environmentally sensitive area and it's got a red-legged toad and you can't build on it. Maybe there's a buried gas tank from 50, 60 years ago and nobody knows about it, but we do because we have special maps that we use when we look at the land and we can tell if that was a gas station. Big difference between land banking and land speculation.
Interesting, run into that stuff all the time. Early in my career, I ran across an underground tank. It wasn't a gas tank. Well, let me phrase that. It wasn't a gasoline tank. It was for heating fuel for the house. And way back yonder when, that's how people heated. They've had tanks in the ground. I've definitely ran across a couple of tanks over my years on properties that were buried or what have you. If you don't mind me asking, Brad, what got you to this? The reality is, if you're a realtor, which I am, the preamble of the Realtor Code of Ethics says that under all is the land. So basically, we all own dirt. When we own water, there's dirt underneath it. So we're all on dirt, right? When we're talking about this, fundamental is basic to me, but again, it's not common. So what got you to doing this?
It's a great question. Real short story. I do a quarterly net worth statement for my wife and I. Talk about exit strategies. You got to know what your net worth is so you know whether you can retire and live comfortably for 20, 30, maybe even 40 years now that we're all living longer. I do a quarterly net worth statement. And on December 31st, 2011, I looked at it and I went, yikes, my wife could retire by herself. She worked at Oracle. She had a 401k company match, did really well with mutual funds. And she had built up a nice portfolio. She could retire on her own. Together, we could retire if I added my little meager retirement fund. But by myself as a single person at that stage in my life, and at that point, I was 60 years old, I could not retire. And it was very upsetting, very humbling. But look at those numbers and just go, oh, man, I really messed up. I haven't been putting enough away. Mm-hmm. So in January, I had my land banker, her name is Marcella Silva. She came to our house, did a presentation, just like a listing presentation. Pulled open the computer, sat at the kitchen table, wife and I. Hour and a half later, my wife goes, "No, thank you. Sounds like speculation to me. I don't really understand. I don't want to wait 7 to 10 years." Walks out of the room. I turned to Marcella and I said, "This is the only way I can amass enough money, like a decade, short enough period of time that I'll have enough that I can retire on. So get me a piece of land." So I bought one in 2012, one in 2013, one in 2014. Finally, in 2015, this is now 3 years after my first purchase, my wife comes with me to hear Marcella speak about land banking again. The whole way in the car, Corwin, she's going, "But I'm not going to buy any. I just want to see if I miss something." Because you've been going down and looking at your land. You've been referring business to Marcella. I think you're called a finder. And your land seems to be going up in value. Maybe I missed something the first time around, but I'm not going to buy.
Okay.
Guess what? We get to the hotel. She listens to Marcella, whips out her checkbook, and she buys two properties of the four that they had for sale that day. She bought two of them right there. I was stuck. Whole way home in the car, I go, "I thought you weren't going to buy." She says, "Shut up and drive." I get it now. I understand. So that was number four and five. We bought six more since then. We own 11 properties. And I went from being an investor to being a finder or a referral partner to then getting my real estate license and joining Marcella's team, just like you have people on your team from our previous conversation. I know you have a bunch of buyer reps, I believe, on your team. Well, I'm like a seller rep on her team. My job is to go out and find investors and ask them to invest.
I'm blown away because it's simple.
It's remarkably simple, very easy to understand. We have something called Land Banking 101. It's a 1 hour presentation that it's like the one that Marcella did at my kitchen table, but she's narrowing it down a little because people were saying like 90 minutes. Now it's about an hour. Okay. And it answers about 95% of the questions people have. Where is the land? How come you're only in that one area? How do you find it? Can I buy with retirement funds? Can I invest with friends? Is this a syndication? Do I get a deed? All of that. And when you're done listening to that hour, most people get a hold of me after they've watched it and they go, "This is a no-brainer." And I said, "Yeah, it's really pretty simple. You buy, you do nothing except pay your property tax once a year in November, and you wait. And the value of the land keeps going up because as more gets sold, there's less available, supply and demand, basic economics. It's in the path of growth. And by the way, all of our research is third-party based. We use city council minutes, city council resolutions, general plans, newspaper articles. We look at what the world is saying about the area where we invest, and everything they say keeps coming true. We keep buying the land in that area, and we buy it, and of course, then sell it to our investors, and they just wait. It's set it and forget it, lazy persons investing in real estate.
I'm pretty positive I know the answer to this, but our listeners want them to get it directly from you. Brad, one of the things that you kind of went past in that conversation was about, do you get a deed? Imagine if I'm someone, and I've made this reference fairly recently about sometimes we are quote unquote preachers to the choir. So if you're the preacher, well, you know, I'm the choir, and I know I'm the choir this time because I know what you're doing. I'm right here with you. Let's go. I'm a cheer and let's go make it happen. I was in the congregation another time on a particular thing because I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know about that one. I want you to educate me. As you are preaching, I don't want you to preach to the choir. I want you to preach to the congregation about this deed. I'm pretty positive I know what that answer is, but how does that look if I'm an investor? I'm thinking, okay, well, look, I want to put some money on the project. What does that look like from my seat?
In California, it's called a fee simple deed. It's just like the deed you get when you buy a house, only in this case, you're just buying the dirt that's under the house. There's no building and you own it. You have title insurance, which our company actually pays for. It's included in your purchase. We will buy the title insurance, which proves legally beyond a shadow of a doubt that you, Corwin J. Millett, do hereby own this piece of dirt in the state of California, located it, and then it gives the APN, the assessor parcel number, and it gives the legal description, southeast corner of northwest one quarter, north township, range, section, county. It's all spelled out You get that in your hand and no one can take your land away. It's yours. Okay. You own it.
You get a deed. Perfect. So you own that dirt. Now, in a situation where bring friends, family in, we'll throw those terms around fairly openly and loosely. But let's say we bring in some other folks in to invest in a piece of property. In that scenario, what would that look like?
There's a couple of different ways you can go about it. In the state of California, you're allowed to invest with up to 4 non-family members and up to 8 direct family members. So I believe that's like grandparents, parents, kids, no aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews. I don't think it goes quite that far. So it's sort of close relatives. Mm-hmm. So 4 non-family, 8 family. You own it together. There's pros and cons. Obviously, the pro is you can buy bigger property when you pool everybody's money together. Mm-hmm. The con or the downside is that you all have to agree to sell at the same time. Any one person can prevent the sale from going forward because your signatures need to be acquired on mm-hmm. the bill of sale. So you got the pros and cons that way. The other thing that happened to me, my first one, I didn't have enough. The first property that Marcella showed me, I did not have enough money to buy the whole thing. It was $115,000 for mixed use, which is the highest zoning of land. There's 5 zonings of land. Mixed use is the highest. But I wanted in. So she said, okay, how much have you got? I said, about $20,000. That was enough to buy 17% interest in the property. There's another person at 17. So that's 34. Mm-hmm. There's somebody at 22, 56. Mm-hmm. And then there's a fourth person at 44%. I did not know any of those 3 people. Marcella found them. They all had different amounts. She pulled us together. We've communicated via email. We've chatted. I do the property tax split because I only pay 17% of the tax and mm-hmm. somebody pays 44, so I'm 22. But I do all that and I send out notices. And so we've been chatting with each other for a couple of years, but we've never met. We live in different parts of the United States. And when it comes time to sell, I will most likely be the negotiator with the other entity, but I'll have to go back to all 3 and we all have to agree on the sales price. So there'll be a little bit of a dance when that comes.
So basically you crowdfunded a real estate deal. You hit on a lot of things in there, Brad. Most of your investors are cash investors. Is that correct?
I'd have to go back and look at the actual breakdown, but the top 3 are cash, which okay. is the easiest. Mm-hmm. Retirement funds.
Okay.
I do a lot of people who have a self-directed IRAs and self-directed okay. Roths. I don't know if your audience knows the distinction between, if you've covered this in the past session mm-hmm. of yours, but there's a difference between a regular IRA and a Roth IRA. Yep. There's tax mm-hmm. advantages mm-hmm. To the Roth that the regular IRA doesn't have. And then 1031 exchanges. My last one that I did, this couple, 2 single family residences and did a 1031 exchange into a larger parcel of land in mm-hmm. exchange for those 2, deferred the tax. That's what the mm-hmm. 1031 exchange does. So they paid no tax and they own now a more expensive piece of dirt, which mm-hmm. they will then wait the mm-hmm. 7 to 10 years that we recommend to people. And mm-hmm. ride it to that 3 to 7x return, which is way more than it would make on the houses, and they don't have to deal with what we call the T's, tenants, toilets, termites, and trouble. They got none of the T's. Nobody waking them up at midnight on Saturday. Like yeah. I got a call yeah. from one of my rentals. Brad, I'm sorry to call you so late. Oh, yeah, what is it? I was half asleep. What is it, Brooke? The washing machine overflowed. Your basement up in Pasco, Washington has about 3-4 inches of water in it. I've already called the guys, their emergency crew. It's going to cost more because it's the weekend,
yeah.
but you want to get the water out before it causes any mold. Thank goodness for homeowners insurance because it covered the $5,600 bill mm-hmm. for all the work that had to be done. But I was stuck for $700 or $800 to buy a new washing machine. Tenants, toilets, termites, and trouble. We don't want any more of that. I've got 1 rental now. I'm down to just the 1. It's fully paid for, so it's all cash flow. So that one I can put up with a few of the T's.
That's the thing, like you said just there, when you're dealing with just dirt alone, you ain't got that issue to worry about at all. You ain't got a toilet, you ain't got a tenant.
There may be termites, but they're chewing on the wood that's on top yeah, of the land.
Yeah. As we get closer into the show today, Brad, how does someone get started with this? One, how they get in contact with you. You're the source here. And how do they get started? What does that look like?
It's very simple. My email is my name, brad@bradwarren.com. I got that so I would remember it. As long as I remember my own name, I remember my email. brad@bradwarren.com. They send me an email. They say, hi, I heard you on Corwin's Exit Strategies radio show, which, by the way, I ask everybody how they heard about me, because all of my business is by referral only, and I do pay referral fees. So I always want the referrer. I want to know who was the person that referred them. So they tell me, I said, great. Oh, Corwin. Oh, yeah, great. I remember that show. We had a great time. Usually what I'll do is I'll ask them a few questions via email, or I might just send them Marcella's link to Land Banking 101 and say, hi, watch this. Take an hour of your time. By the end of watching it, you will either want to invest or you won't. It's that clear. It's black and white. Yes or no. Hot or cold, up or down, in or out. You'll know. After you watch it, please don't share it with anybody because it's all by referral. I don't want this going to people I don't know. Mm-hmm. After you've watched that 1 hour, email me and just say, no thanks, not interested. Hey, I want to be an investor. Hey, I don't want to be an investor, but I would like to be a finder. I know some people that would like to do this. Mm-hmm. Or the one answer that I love the most, I want to invest and be a finder. Now I got a referral partner and a client. I love them when they send answer number 4. And then based on what your response to me is, we set up a Zoom and we start going ahead. And we keep educating. We keep raising the bar and making sure we will grill that potential investor. Do you realize this is 7 to 10 years? Are you going to need that money for, do you have kids?
Yeah.
Are they going to college? Mm-hmm. Might you need some of that money for their education? Oh, no, Brad, we have a 529 plan. It's set aside. Kids are handled. This is for my wife and I for like 20 or 30 years down the road from retirement. We want to get a couple of nice wins. Maybe we can do this a couple of times. I make sure they are absolutely clear that they've got the time horizon and they can use what's called patient money, mm-hmm. money they're putting aside and not ever having to need for anything else. And then they're just willing to wait. If they bug me, if they're like, Brad, I need this answer right away. They're not patient. I'm not even going to send them the video. The presentation link. It's like your behavior now, you're demonstrating to me that you're not patient. Mm-hmm. If you can't wait a week for me to get back to you with some important information, how are you going to wait 7 to 10 years for the developer to knock on your door? And you're going to be calling me every 6 months, bugging the heck out of me. How's my land doing? How's that? One guy did this. How's my land doing? How's my land, Brett? So I said, Rick, let me ask you a question. Do you get on the free Tuesday night webinars to get updated? Because then you'd know how your land was doing. Well, no, I don't watch those. I said, well, you better start watching them. And number 2, Rick, last night it rained in the Antelope Valley and your land is wet today. And tomorrow your land will be dry. That's how your land is doing. Any other questions? And he laughed. He said, okay, I won't bug you. About a year and a half, 2 years later, maybe it was only a year. He sends me a selfie. It's him and his wife. And in the background is this solar farm. Thousands and thousands of solar panels on probably about 1,000 acres of land.
Okay.
And I called him up. I said, Rick, what the heck is that? It's a selfie. It's you and your wife in a solar farm. He says, Brad, that's next door to my property. It was across the street. They had just finished building this. He says, I get it. I just need to wait. They're coming. That's evidence that they're building in this area. Mm-hmm. I just need to wait and I'll call you when I get my first offer and you can help me negotiate, because we also offer free negotiation coaching. We can't give advice because then I lose my real estate license, but we can coach you with some questions that you need to ask that person. Maybe we have other investors that are right near you that are further down the negotiation process. Maybe they've been doing it for 6 months. And they've already been offered 120 and they only offered you 40. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you like to know the address of that property that has a $120,000 offer on it? Mm-hmm. Then you go back to the energy company and say, excuse me, you offered me 40,000. Oh yeah, Mr. Warren, we see you bought the land for 25. We're offering you 40. We think that's very reasonable. Well, you know, I happen to know of a property at XYZ address. Mm-hmm. And I happen to know that you've offered them 120,000. and it's the same size property as mine, and it's inside the boundaries of your project, why are you only offering me 40 and them three times that? Mm-hmm. And then you zip your lips and you don't say another word. Well, they go, we'll get back to you. And then they get back to me and they say, okay, you know, you're right. I wasn't aware of that at the time. We'll offer you 122 just to make up for. Really, is that the best you can do? Exactly. How did you arrive at that number? And we'll give you the coaching language to use. If you say, well, Brad, they just offered me 130, but it sounded like they were kind of like near their limit. Should I sell? If I say yes or no, I'm done. I lose my real estate license for giving financial advice.
Yeah.
But I'll give you the code, Corwin. I would say something like this. Corwin, they offered you 130 and you paid 25 to buy it originally. That's an excellent price. Or based on what we know about what's selling in that immediate vicinity, that is current market value, Corwin. Now, I didn't say yes. I didn't say no, but I gave you the code. Yeah, sell. that's a great price. That's like six times your investment. You're at the upper end of our range, you know, and you got 130 in your pocket. Enjoy it. Go on a vacation. Reinvest with us. Buy some more land. I don't care what you do. It's your money. We would give you hints, but we can't give you actual advice.
Let me ask you this, Brad, as we close out on today's show. I call it my mic drop question. And you actually kind of probably hit it already. But my mic drop question is along the vein of, if you would have known this, how long ago would have made all the difference for you? What can you tell somebody today that will make all the difference in their life going forward? I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
What would I tell people today that would make a big difference for them in their future?
Mm-hmm.
Obvious answer is, you know, buy land. But even I think more obvious than that, do your own due diligence on any investment. Crypto, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, single family residence, storage units, apartment buildings. I don't care what you're getting involved in, any investment at all, do your homework, do your research, look at the micro trends, the microeconomic trends, what's happening right now, and look at the macroeconomic trends. What does the future look like? The biggest one I see right now, we're going solar. People can hem and haw and complain about it. And, oh, oil is here to stay. And no, it's not. The Saudi Arabian people and government are unloading all of their oil investments and buying solar farms. Go do the research. I'm not making this up. Go read the newspapers. Read the right newspapers. Wall Street Journal, New York Times. Read the industry journals. The Waltons, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett owns a $2 billion solar farm next door to one of my properties. And where is it? It's in the Antelope Valley where we invest. Now, why? You got to ask yourself, why would Warren Buffett do that? Mm-hmm. He must know something. Follow the money. Follow where Blackstone, the big investment, they're moving trillions of dollars into solar. It's happening. That's a macroeconomic trend that everybody on this planet should be paying more attention to.
That is a powerful answer, because while you've been saying that, I've been kind of processing and thinking about, we're starting to see more and more solar farms on the East Coast. And obviously, you always see development. That always goes on more and more. Brad, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on our show today. I appreciate it. I appreciate the insight. And I appreciate you breaking down what to me is fundamental, but you have placed a spin on it to enhance its potential. Again, thank you for that.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So our listeners, guys, y'all got Brad's contact information. Y'all got to get this thing broke down by this dirt. So I need y'all to go give him a holler. Email him, reach out, look at the video, the information that he sends, but most importantly, engage and make sure to get your questions answered. Brad, again, thank you. I really appreciate your time. For our listeners, in closing today's show, y'all know how I feel, and y'all know what I say. I'm going to put the two of those things together, and I'm going to say it to you this way. I love you. I love you. I love you. We're going to see you guys out there in those streets.
Guys, that was a great show today, and we thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Exit Strategies Radio Show. My name is Corwin J. Millett. Yes, that is me. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in for today's episode. Exit Strategies is my baby. It is how I give back to our community. It is how I foster goodwill, spread good news, and trustfully help you get great results. Guys, as I always say to you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we're going to see you guys out there in the streets.